is risen. Alleluia and amen. That's it, right? That's the whole sermon. You don't need me to say anything more, do you? Or do you? Christ is risen. And what does that mean? And what does that mean to us in the 21st century? Resurrection is not a new concept, nor is it exclusively a Christian concept. In the first century, many Jewish people believed and expected a resurrection to occur, which would inaugurate the age of Messiah. Resurrection of the dead is a core doctrine of traditional Jewish theology. The books of Isaiah and Daniel speak plainly about immortality of the soul. Ezekiel shows us the resurrection of the dry bones. Now, there were, in Jesus' time, a couple of sects, the Essenes and the Sadducees in particular, who did not believe in the resurrection. But the Pharisees did, and most likely all of Jesus' followers did. Peter and Andrew and James and John and Matthew and Simon the Zealot and Judas and Mary Magdalene and Salome and the other Mary and all the others who followed him, they all most likely believed that there would be a resurrection. And yet, Mary's first reaction to the empty tomb is not joy, but sorrow. Her first thoughts are not kingdom thoughts, but earthly ones. She arrives before dawn while it is still dark, and she weeps, and she weeps. In the fog of her grief, perhaps not even having slept, I can sure understand that one, she is stymied. Where is he? Was his body taken? Because, according to ancient sources, grave robbing was a common occurrence. Go figure. So Mary goes to find Peter, good old foot in the mouth, ever misunderstanding, denied Jesus three times, Peter, and also the disciple described as beloved of Jesus. And she tells them the body's missing, and they run to see for themselves, because after all, seeing is believing. They see the open tomb. They see the linens lying on the ground. They see that there is no body in sight. And they believe. John's gospel tells us. But what they believe, we are left to guess at. Maybe they believe just what Mary told them, that the body is missing. Because the gospel writer also tells us that they still do not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. And they leave, maybe to go find the other disciples, maybe to form a search party and seek Jesus' body. Who knows? But they go. Meanwhile, Mary is still weeping. Maybe, like the mourners at Lazarus' tomb, her weeping has become wailing, and there's no one here to sit Shiva with her. Couldn't one of those disciples have stuck around long enough to offer a hug or give her a shoulder to cry on? Maybe men really are from Mars and always need to be doing something, and women really are from Venus and need to express their emotions. But what happens next is for Mary alone. She sees these two angels, God's heralds, and then she sees Jesus, who she first mistakes for the gardener. She only recognizes him when he calls her name, Mary. New life comes when God calls us by name. Jesus called Lazarus, come out of the tomb. And Lazarus was raised to life. And Jesus says, Mary. And then Jesus makes Mary the first apostle and the first preacher of the good news. Go, Jesus says to her. The word apostle literally means one who is sent. Go and tell my brothers the good news. I am going to God. Now, why Mary? Why didn't Jesus appear just a few minutes sooner? Peter just missed him. Why does Jesus appear to Mary and task her with the news of the resurrection? I'm going to suggest to you on this Easter morning that the answer lies in her name. There is some new research into who Mary Magdalene was and where she appears in the Gospels. New research conducted by scholars who sought out and studied the very oldest copies of the Gospel of John in their original Aramaic language, one of which dates from the 2nd century. Her name Magdala could refer to a town in Galilee where Mary came from. That's been the traditional interpretation. There are several towns in 1st century Palestine that use Magdala or Migdal in their name. Migdal Nunia, Migdal Gad, Migdal Eder. Migdal means tower in Greek. In Aramaic, the word for tower is Magdala. When used as a name, Magdala, Migdal, it projects strength and durability. It suggests vision and visibility. It's a good name. So what if Mary is called Magdala not because of where she's from, but because of what she is? A tower. Someone strong, someone visible, someone with vision. Peter's the rock. Jesus named him that. In the very next chapter of John's Gospel, we will see Peter the Rock find forgiveness and receive his own commission from Jesus to feed the sheep and care for the lambs. What if, in the same way, Mary is named the Tower? After all, she is often named first among the women who followed Jesus, which suggests she had status among her peers. She appears multiple times in all 4 gospel accounts. 2 of those accounts say Jesus healed her, driving 7 demons out of her. She is at the foot of the cross at his crucifixion, and she is at the tomb at the morning of the resurrection. And gospel writer John says she is the first apostle and preacher of the good news that Christ is risen. And does it matter? And why does it matter? Here's what I think. Calling Mary a tower of strength and vision, and then naming her as an apostle and preacher, locates her differently in the story of Jesus and the formation of the church that bears his name. Peter himself, in the book of Acts, says all those witnesses to the resurrection were chosen by God to give their testimonies. Mary was chosen by God, who does not show favoritism. Chosen for this time and place, she was chosen first. She who met Jesus when she was broken and found healing in his ministry has a testimony to give. She who would be sidelined in society because of her gender is made central to telling the Easter message. She is no longer defined by the sickness that once bound her or by the rules that would have silenced her. Jesus calls her by name and gives her new life and new purpose and a message to tell to the world. Friends, I don't know about you, but that's the Easter message I need to hear. I need to hear, through my tears of grief, the resurrected Jesus call my name with love. I need him to heal what is broken and hurting inside of me, to take away my shame and my guilt by forgiving me, to raise up new life from these dry bones. And Mary tells me it's possible. Christ is risen, friends, and in him we all find new life and new purpose. And that is good news that we all need to hear. Alleluia, friends. Christ is risen. Amen.